We mentioned this morning that Naomi took the first step in a right direction, but she still wasn't where she needed to be spiritually. Naomi obviously had a faith in the Lord. She believed that God was. She believed that God was sovereign. Her problem was her perspective of her trials and her tribulations. In Mark chapter 9, actually, we read of a man in the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in Mark chapter 9, the story of the man who had a demon-possessed man, a son, actually adds some details that Matthew and Luke do not have as they report the story. But the bottom line is that a man has a demon-possessed son. He comes first of all to the disciples, asking them to bring some relief to his son, and they can't do anything about it. So finally they bring him to the Savior. And the Savior said, if you believe, all things are possible. And he said this, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And that really is a description also of where Naomi is at this point between chapter 1 and chapter 2. She believes, but she needs help with her unbelief. Her faith needs to grow. It needs to be strengthened. She needs a new perspective on life. Now, as we look at chapter 1, Naomi comments to the citizens of Bethlehem about her situation, beginning in verse 20 and 21. And she, that is Naomi, said unto them, that's the people of Bethlehem, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Now, the thing that I want you to see is that in her hurt, all she can see is her hurt. Because the reality is, she was not totally empty. She was not totally without resources, without help in her time of need. We already saw this morning from chapter 1 that one of the resources she had was her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And we're going to expand on that tonight as we get into chapter 2. But as we get into chapter 2, we see a second resource that she had. As we begin with verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So here she not only has Ruth, but she has a kinsman, a relative by the name of Boaz. Actually, he was a relative of her husband, Elimelech. And he was a man of some means and a man of some prominence in Bethlehem. Now that raises another question that we don't want to spend a lot of time with tonight, but it raises another question. Why would Elimelech feel the need to flee from his problems and go down into Moab in the first place. Because he had help in the form of relatives prominent within the community, and yet instead of seeking help from them, he runs down into Moab. We can only surmise the reason that he fled, but it does seem fairly evident that the problem was pride. He was just too proud to go to Boaz, to his kinsman, and seek help. And I wonder how many times in our life, when we are facing testings in our life, trials in our life, difficulties in our life, our pride keeps us from seeking help that is available to us. Our pride says to us, we can handle it all ourselves. We don't need anybody or anything. We can do it. The problem is that the Bible tells us that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud and he exalts or lifts up the humble. And Elimelech added to his problems by trying to run from the difficulties, depending on his own schemes, his own ideas, his own plan, rather than seeking the help that was available to him. But here is Naomi. She comes back, and she fails to recognize the resources that she has. She's just having a pity party, feeling too sorry for herself. What is the solution? Well, the solution is explained in a hymn that we sing all the time. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Too often, all we talk about is our hurt. All we talk about is our difficulty. All we talk about are our aches and our pains and everything that's wrong in life. But we need, even in those times of difficulty, to stop, look around, and acknowledge that God is with us and God blesses us, and there are things to be thankful for even when everything seems to be going wrong. Verse 2, chapter 2. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Or Naomi said unto Ruth, go ahead and go, my daughter. So Ruth now is out actively seeking help for their situation. She isn't just sitting there, but she's actually seeking. But notice that she is seeking grace. Unlike Elimelech, her father-in-law, she's not trying to do it all on her own. The Bible tells us that in every situation of life, or I should say most situations in life, there is a dual responsibility. As Philippians tells us, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I cannot do it alone, on my own, in my own strength. But neither will God do everything for me if there are things that I could and should be doing on my own. There is a responsibility on both parties' part, my part and God's part. And that's what we see here in Ruth. She needs grace. She needs favor from someone greater than herself, in a better position than herself. But she goes out and acts and actively seeks the help that she needs. Verse 3, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now, we see here evidence of and an illustration of God's providence in our life. God working behind the scene. It is no coincidence that Ruth ends up in the field that belongs to Boaz, the one who is a relative to her deceased father-in-law. That is of the Lord's leading and the Lord's guidance. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Psalm 37. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. The fact is that even when we do not, or we are not fully conscious of his work in our life, he is always there guiding and leading. We need to trust him every day, even in our difficult situations. Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The fact is that God's word and God's truth only shines light as far as the next step. We often want God to show us how everything is going to turn out before we will trust him. But the fact is that God requires that we, by faith, depend on him day by day, trusting that he will direct us and he will lead us and guide us even when we cannot see what the end will be. Even when we cannot see the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel, we keep walking step by step, trusting God to lead us, to guide us, and direct us. God's promised he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He says in Matthew 28, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We need to trust that. Believe in that. Depend upon that every day, even in the midst of great trial and tribulation. Verse 4, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Boaz was a spiritual man. Boaz was a man of God, as we can see in his greeting to his workers. Now, Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we have before us is not a picture of salvation, but it is a picture of how God cares for those who are his own. And the fact is that God sent his own son to become like unto us. That's the kinsman part. Keep your finger in Ruth chapter 2, because we're going to come back to it. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews, chapter 2. Look at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. In other words, Christ also himself likewise took part of the same, or part of flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death are all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. In other words, in order to minister to us and to meet our needs, first the need of salvation, but then the other needs that we have in this life, he had to come and be like us. He had to be one of us. And because we did that, when we trust him as Savior, Romans chapter 8 tells us that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So he is our kinsman. It is by God's eternal plan that he became our kinsman, like unto us, taking upon himself flesh and blood as we have, that he might minister to our needs in life. So, he came, when he did come and take upon himself flesh and blood and become like us, he came to minister in the name of God. As Boaz came and said, the Lord bless you. So when Jesus came, he came to speak the words that the Father gave him to speak. He came to be obedient to the Father. He came to fulfill the will of the Father as he ministered to us. And he tells us that he came not to be ministered unto, or in other words, to be served, but he came to serve us, to minister to us. And so we see a picture of that in Boaz. Now verse 5, then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. So you'll notice that in the relationship with Ruth, Boaz takes the initiative. Again, as a type of Jesus Christ, we are reminded in 1 John chapter 4 that we love him because he first loved us. We need to keep in mind always God's great love for us. Everything that happens to us is either done by Christ or allowed by Christ because of his love for us. You see, what Naomi did not understand yet is that even our trials and our tribulations are allowed into our life because of God's great love for us. Again, keep your finger in the book of Ruth and turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1 in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, notice beginning in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times, wherein ye greatly rejoice. In other words, we rejoice in our salvation, and we rejoice in the fact that our salvation is secure, not because of what we do, but because of God and what He does. Now, we're saved and secure in our salvation, even though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The word temptation there really means trials, testings, difficulty. The English word temptation basically refers to two different things. One is the enticement to do evil. Satan tempts us by enticing us to do evil. God never tempts us in that manner. God never entices us to do evil. The other way the word temptation is used is in the sense of a trial, a proving, a testing. And God does do that. We saw that this morning from various scriptures. God sometimes puts us to the fire as gold is put to the fire, so that the gold might be refined and purified. Now notice here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 that the testing and the trial is for a season. It's temporary. It will not be forever. It is just for a season. But notice, secondly, that it is necessary. It is needful. God does not throw trials in our way and put burdens upon us in life simply because he finds it amusing, simply because he can't think of anything better to do with his time. When God allows a trial in our life, or God brings a trial in our life, it is necessary. There's a purpose in it. There's something that has to be accomplished that cannot be accomplished in any other way. If need be, it says. But notice as we go on, ye are in heaviness through manifold or many temptations. Notice it does not minimize the pain and the difficulty of our trial. The Lord is fully aware that the trials that He brings into our life hurt, are heavy, are difficult. But there's a purpose in it. And the fact is that He brings those into our life because He loves us so much that He's willing to put us to the fire in order to help us and improve us. James chapter 1, talking again about trials and tribulations, says that we are to count it all joy. We mentioned that this morning. But it goes on to say that in the trials and tribulations, we are to allow patience to have its perfect work. In other words, we continue to trust in God patiently during our trial and tribulations. We allow that trial to do its work in our life. And then James chapter 1 goes on to say that we are to allow patience to have its perfect work, that we might be complete, entire, lacking nothing. God wants us to be the best that we can be, because he loves us so much. But in his wisdom, in his great knowledge, he realizes that sometimes the only way for us to become the best that we can be is to go through the trials and tribulations of life. Well, Ruth, then, we see that Boaz, as a type of Christ, initiates the love relationship. Again, 1 John tells us, we love him because he first loved us. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Ephesians, as he prays for the Christians at Ephesus, says one of the things that he prays for them is that they might understand the height and the depth and the breadth of God's love in their life. The more we understand how much he loves us, the more we're able to stand up in the burdens of life and not let the burdens of life get us down. So Boaz notices this damsel. He said, who is it? He's informed that it is the Moabite woman who came back with Naomi. Now we'll see in a little bit that Boaz had heard of the Moabite woman. He hadn't met her yet, didn't know who she was, but he had heard of her and what she had done, and how she had helped her mother-in-law, Naomi. Now, back to Ruth chapter 2 again. Ruth responds. Boaz has shown an interest in her, and so Ruth responds. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarry a little in the house. In other words, first of all, she says, please let me work in your field. And having received permission, she worked hard. Isaiah tells us to seek the Lord while he may be found. Isaiah chapter 55. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, it says, if we will seek the Lord, we will find him if we seek with all of our heart. The question is, as we seek God's help and blessing in our trial and tribulation, how sincere are we? How committed are we? Are we seeking him with a whole heart? God promises that if we do, we will be found of him. Now, she worked hard from morning till night, only taking time to stop and rest in the shed that is provided, or the shelter that is provided for the workers, to give them a place to kind of rest for a moment so that they can go on and work. Verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. So here, Boaz now not only initiates this relationship with Ruth, but Boaz now provides for her needs. And he says to her, now, listen, you go with my servants, my female servants, who are also gleaning in the field, because I don't want you to have to worry about trying to dig up leftovers after they've done their gleaning. I want you right up there where the crop is being harvested so that you will find what you need easily and bountifully. Not only that, I will protect you. I've made it known that the men aren't to bother you in any way. And the third thing is, when you need to get a drink, you don't have to go out and try to find it somewhere, and you don't have to leave the fields and go try to find a well to get a drink. You drink of the water that I have provided for my workers. It's there. So he shows kindness to her and provides for her and protects her. Verse 10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thy eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Notice her humility. Notice also the fact that she recognizes that she does not merit any special favors from this generous man. She's an outsider. She's a foreigner. She's from Moab, that country that has been in a source of conflict and friction with the Israelites for generations. There's nothing in her background or nothing from a natural standpoint that would merit any special favors from God. Beloved, the truth is that you and I, even when we are saved, do not deserve anything special from God. It is of His grace that He provides for us and cares for us. And the way for us to abundantly receive from the Lord is from an attitude and a spirit of humility. Once again, as we quoted this morning from the book of James and also from 1 Peter chapter 5, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. When we come to the Lord, we don't come demanding. We come with humble gratitude for everything, every blessing that He bestows upon us. Verse 11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not. Therefore the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now, notice, as I said, Boaz had heard of Ruth, knew of her loyalty to Naomi, But he had not yet met her until she began to glean the crops from his field. But notice that he recognizes that she had a true conversion experience. She was, as we would describe her today, born again. Because there was a point when she put her faith in the living, true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that we know as the God of the Scriptures, Jehovah Yahweh. She did that in chapter 1 when she said to Naomi, "Thy God will be my God." And she went on to acknowledge that she knew who that God was when she used his personal name, Yahweh, Jehovah. So here once again, a confirmation that Ruth was a woman of faith, had been converted to faith in the true and living God of Israel. Now, verse 13. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed. In other words, he invited her to come and fellowship with him and with his other workers that worked for him. She became accepted. And when it talks about him reaching to her, he served them a meal as they gathered together. She wasn't left on her own just to find her own way. And she ate fully. She ate so much that she was full, and she had food left over. And that's the way that God treats his children when we come to him, seek him in faith. Verse 15, after having the meal with Boaz and his workers, and when she was risen up to glean, in other words, to go back to work, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not." In other words, let her get up close to where you're gathering the sheaves, where most of the overflow grain is falling down, so that she can get plenty. It won't be scarce. And don't give her a hard time. Don't rebuke her. Let her alone. Let her gather as much as she can. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned. It was about an ephod of barley. Not only did she gather the grain, but she beat it out. In other words, she separated the grain from the chaff. Kind of like what we have to do with the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that sometimes is easier to do in our easy times. But in the time of trial, in the time of tribulation, in the time of testing, sometimes that is very difficult to do. There are actually six things that we need to do in order to separate the wheat or the grain from the chaff. First of all, in relationship to God's word, we've got to hear it. Secondly, we've got to read it. Third, we've got to spend time and effort to study it. Fourthly, we have to meditate upon it. Fifthly, we have to memorize it. And lastly, we have to practice it. We have to put it into practice. Hear it, read it, study it, meditate upon it, memorize it, and practice it. Now, if we had time, I could show you Bible verses for every one of those activities. I'm just going to ask you to take my word for it tonight. But that's how we can indeed separate the wheat out so that we have the pure wheat and not just a lot of extra unnecessary. That brings us down to verse 18. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave it to her, or in other words, gave it to her mother-in-law that she had received after she was sufficed. In other words, of the meal that Boaz had provided for her and the other workers, where she had eaten and was full and had food left over, that extra food, the doggy bag, she brought back to Naomi. And what do we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1? It tells us the comfort that we are comforted with in our time of testing. We're to use that to comfort others. You see, the trials and the testings and the problems that you and I go through are not for us alone. God expects us to use those experiences to bring encouragement and comfort to others. As we learn to trust in the Lord, as we find our peace in Him during the time of trouble, once our problems are past, we are in position to help others find that same peace, that same joy, that same ability to be grateful, even in times of trouble, for the blessings that God has for us. As Ruth shared with Naomi, we share what we learn with others. Verse 19, and her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, or whom she had worked, and said, "The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near kin unto us, one of our own next kinsmen." So Naomi now is beginning to see that all is not lost, and that God has not forsaken her, that God still has blessings for her. As hard as life is, God continues to have blessings for her. And so Naomi now is beginning to change her perspective and her attitude towards the problems that she's going through. And she recognizes that not only is God real, and not only is God sovereign, but God is a God of goodness and kindness to them, in spite of the difficulties we're going through. Verse 21, and Ruth the Moabitess said, "He is unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by," or "he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said unto her, Ruth, my daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. In other words, if you try to go to other fields, you may not have the protection of Boaz. And it may be dangerous to be in somebody else's field. So just stick in Boaz's field. May I say to you that in our times of trial and tribulation, it's good to stick with the Lord and not with the world and the god of this world, who is Satan. Verse 23, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean under the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Beloved, in our time of trial and tribulation, may we be like Ruth and turn with humble gratitude to Christ, our Boaz. Father, dismiss us now, we pray, with your blessing. Lord, speak to our heart. Help us to meditate on this beautiful passage of Scripture. Help us to apply its truth to our own personal situation and lives. Help us by our attitude to bring glory to you. Help us to find peace that passes understanding, peace that the world cannot give, peace that cometh from you alone. We commit this service now in your name to our hearts and to our minds. Use it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.